The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. I'm going to read two sections today, one of the practice instructions and one of the religious poems towards the end. The misunderstanding of many lifetimes. Emptiness is without characteristics. Illumination has no emotional afflictions. With piercing, quietly profound radiance, it mysteriously eliminates all disgrace. Thus one can know oneself. Thus the self is completed. We all have the clear, wondrously bright field from the beginning. Many lifetimes of misunderstanding come only from distrust, hindrance, and screens of confusion that we create in a scenario of isolation. With boundless wisdom, journey beyond this, forgetting accomplishments. Straightforwardly abandon stratagems and take on responsibility. Having turned yourself around, accepting your situation, if you set foot on the path, spiritual energy will marvelously transport you. Contact phenomena with total sincerity, not a single atom of dust outside yourself. Emptiness is without characteristics. Emptiness is that which comes beyond, before thought. That which is there before thoughts arise, from which the thoughts come, the mind ground. Empty and without characteristics. When the mind is really still, when we're dwelling in emptiness, there are no characteristics, no flavors, no things going on that the mind is grasping onto. Transparent down to the bottom. It's just clear, like clear water. And it's also the emptiness before the empty kalpa that we were talking about. That which comes before everything, out of which everything comes forth, without characteristics. Illumination has no emotional afflictions. We see through the feelings and emotions, we sit beneath them, and they do not rule us. We're not afflicted. Emotions may be there, but we're not afflicted by them. We let them come and go. And even when they don't seem to want to go, we're not afflicted by them in the same way as before. We're not taking everything quite so personally. We have some perspective and understanding. And the deeper the illumination, the less are the emotional afflictions. Emptiness is without characteristics. Illumination has no emotional afflictions. With piercing, quietly profound radiance, it mysteriously eliminates all disgrace. All the faults and mistakes and things we judge ourselves for, all the things we think are disgraceful about ourselves. With piercing, quietly profound radiance, it sees clearly through everything, it pierces everything, but quietly, not judging, just seeing. And it illuminates it all profoundly. This is compassion. To see it all, see through it all, to see all the mistakes and deluded ideas and harm we have done, and to see the purity of intention that may have been there, as well as the selfishness and fear and greed and so on. With piercing, quietly profound radiance. It's a beautiful way of putting it. In this way, it mysteriously eliminates all disgrace. It allows it to dissipate. We don't have to hold on to these things any longer. They just dissolve. Through the compassion of just sitting still, mysteriously, We don't really know how it works, we just know it does. We don't really know how meditation works, it just does, despite our best efforts. Thus, one can know oneself. Thus the self is completed, or thus the self is resolved. We can know and accept our faults and shortcomings. We can accept ourselves just as we are. We can still work on our faults, but there's a difference. We're seeing them more clearly, with stillness and with compassion, not with judgment and wishing we were different. We can see more clearly when there is compassion, quietly. Thus, one can know oneself, thus the self is completed. This is the ox of self that we train. We come to know this ox. Thus the self is completed, thus the ox is converted, and it helps us to break open the ground in the empty field. Our suffering helps us to come to wisdom, as we were talking about the other day. We all have the clear, wondrously bright field from the beginning. No matter who we are or what we think we are like, the clear, wondrously bright field is there, is here, and we can realize it and live from it. When we haven't yet realized it, we can trust it and allow it to help us. We have it from the beginning. Just trust it. Many lifetimes of misunderstanding come only from distrust, hindrance, and screens of confusion that we create in a scenario of isolation. There is no deliberate evil here. It's just lifetimes of not understanding, not trusting our true nature, not trusting the true nature of other people. The hindrances of greed, anger, and delusion. The screens of confusion that we have created ourselves so that we can't see things clearly as they really are. In a scenario of isolation, thinking we're a separate self, isolated from everything else, me and the world. Lifetimes of misunderstanding, but they only come from these things, and we can work on them. With boundless wisdom, journey beyond this, forgetting accomplishments. Let boundless wisdom help us to go beyond all these things, to let go of all these deluded views. But we must not then grab onto some idea of having accomplished something, because immediately we're a self that's done something, and we've fallen again into our deluded views, forgetting accomplishments. We just keep going. It isn't helpful to think about accomplishing anything, or think we're doing well, or think we're doing poorly, or comparing ourselves with other people, or with some ideal that we think we should be living up to. We just do our best and keep going, forgetting accomplishments. Straightforwardly abandon stratagems and take on responsibility. Abandon stratagems. Don't try to figure everything out or find some easy way around it. Just take responsibility for ourselves and what we need to do. We need to do the work. There's no way around it. We need to tame our ox. Having turned yourself around, accepting your situation, if you set foot on the path, spiritual energy will marvelously transport you. We receive help in unseen ways when we truly resolve to do this work, when we turn ourselves around, accept our situation, and take responsibility for ourselves. We find the strength and the energy to do it, and sometimes things just help us. Things work out for us in ways we didn't expect sometimes. Sometimes there are obstacles and difficulties, and sometimes things just help. And spiritual energy often comes to our aid when we least expect it and we most need it. Contact phenomena with total sincerity. Not a single atom of dust outside yourself. Deal with things as sincerely and wholeheartedly as we can, with total sincerity. There is not a single thing, not a single atom of dust that is separate from us. We are part of everything. No longer do we have the scenario of isolation, the feeling of being a separate self that's isolated from everything else. We are part of everything. Everything is part of us. We are all part of the bright, boundless field. I'm going to read the guidepost of silent illumination. Silent and serene, forgetting words, bright clarity appears before you. When you reflect it, you become vast. Where you embody it, you are spiritually uplifted. Spiritually solitary and shining, in illumination restores wonder. Dew in the moonlight, a river of stars, snow-covered pines, clouds enveloping the peak. In darkness, it is most bright, while hidden, all the more manifest. The crane dreams in the wintry mists. The autumn waters flow far into the distance. Endless kalpas are totally empty, all things completely the same. When wonder exists in serenity, all achievement is forgotten in illumination. What is this wonder? Alertly seeing through confusion is the way of silent illumination and the origin of subtle radiance. Vision penetrating into subtle radiance is weaving gold on a jade loom. Upright and inclined yield to each other. Light and dark are interdependent. Not depending on sense faculty and object, at the right time they interact. Drink the medicine of good views, beat the poison-smeared drum. When they interact, killing and giving life are up to you. Through the gate the self emerges and the branches bear fruit. Only silence is the supreme speech. Only illumination, the universal response. Responding without falling into achievement, speaking without involving listeners, the 10,000 forms majestically glisten and expound the Dharma. All objects certify it, every one in dialogue. Dialoguing and certifying, they respond appropriately to each other. But if illumination neglects serenity, then aggressiveness appears. Certifying and dialoguing, they respond to each other appropriately. But if serenity neglects illumination, murkiness leads to wasted Dharma. When silent illumination is fulfilled, the lotus blossoms, the dreamer awakens, 100 streams flow into the ocean, 1,000 rangers face the highest peak. Like geese preferring milk, like bees gathering nectar, when silent illumination reaches the ultimate, I offer my teaching. The teaching of silent illumination penetrates from the highest down to the foundation. The body being shunyata, the arms in mudra, from beginning to end the changing appearances and the 10,000 differences share one pattern. Mr. Ho offered jade to the emperor. Minister Xiangru pointed to its flaws. Facing changes has its principles. The great function is without striving. The ruler stays in the kingdom. The general goes beyond the frontiers. Our school's affair hits the mark straight and true. Transmitted to all directions without desiring to gain credit. Silent and serene, forgetting words, bright clarity appears before you. Once again, Great Master Hongxi put this in the most beautiful way. And I don't think I have to comment on that. When you reflect it, you become vast. I would say it becomes vast. It is vast. The vast luminosity, the bright clarity, and we just reflect it. Where you embody it, you are spiritually uplifted. Where we embody it, we harmonize with it. It shines through us, and we act, think, and speak in accord with it. We are spiritually uplifted. We cannot embody it without being spiritually uplifted. Spiritually solitary and shining, inner illumination restores wonder. Spiritually solitary doesn't mean cut off. It means independent, still. Inner illumination restores wonder. Wonder implies something we don't fully understand, something wonderful. When we're children, we wonder at everything. And then as we grow up, we lose that sense of wonder. We think we understand things. We don't look at them in the same way. And as we go on in training, the sense of wonder is restored. We realize that there's far more than we can see or grasp. There is a whole lot we do not know. We wander into the circle of wonder. Dew in the moonlight, a river of stars, snow-covered pines, clouds enveloping the peak. Again, the moon symbolizes Buddha nature, and the little drops of dew that reflect it are all the things and beings of the world, us, reflecting Buddha nature, the vast luminosity. Everything just reflecting the moonlight, Buddha nature. A river of stars uses this image several times. Something huge and beautiful, beyond our comprehension. We cannot really know. The river of stars is far beyond our grasp. Snow-covered pines. The pine tree resembles the unborn, unchanging, evergreen, the lasting, that which does not change. Clouds enveloping the peak. Sometimes the clouds represent disciples, the peak, the teacher. There's different ways of understanding all these things. But altogether, they convey a sense of stillness and of wonder. In darkness, it is most bright, while hidden, all the more manifest. Light and darkness again. In darkness, it is most bright. Sometimes Buddha nature shines brightest when things seem the darkest. That is when our faith is most needed and when we feel it strongest. The crane dreams in the wintry mists. The autumn waters flow far in the distance. The crane is another symbol for Buddha nature. And often in Chinese Buddhist paintings, there are cranes, often a theme. The Buddha nature dreams in the mist. You don't see it clearly. Endless kalpas are totally empty. All things completely the same. No discrimination, nothing better than something else. Not flavorless, but just the same. Nothing greater than another. Nothing better, nothing truer, nothing less true. Accepting everything equally beyond the discriminatory mind. When the wonder exists in serenity, all achievement is forgotten in illumination. Serenity and illumination, serene reflection. All achievement is forgotten. We're not trying to achieve anything. We don't even think about achieving anything or having achieved anything. It's forgotten. It's just irrelevant here. What is this wonder? Alertly seeing through confusion is the way of silent illumination and the origin of subtle radiance. This wonder, seeing through our confused and deluded ideas with awareness, piercing through to see the way of silent illumination and the origin of subtle radiance. Vision penetrating into subtle radiance is weaving gold on a jade loom. Here again is the theme of gold and jade, the ideal and the actual, Buddha nature and the world of things. Reverend Taigen has a footnote here, explains the jade loom or the jade machine as the realization of the ideal and Buddha nature and the actual, the world of things, simultaneously. Nirvana and samsara, one and the many, ideal and the actual, the universal and the transient. Vision piercing into the radiance, seeing the Buddha nature within everything, seeing both of these together, penetrating into subtle radiance, weaving gold on a jade loom. Upright and inclined yield to each other. Light and dark are interdependent. Again, upright and inclined, the true, the real, and the many things, the things that lean on each other, they work together. Light and dark work together, interdependent. We need both. Not depending on sense faculty and object, at the right time they interact, the ideal and the actual. They come together. Drink the medicine of good views, beat the poison-smeared drum. The medicine of good views is the Dharma, right view. This doesn't mean correct opinions. It means the true view, seeing clearly with the eye of the Dharma, seeing beyond our selfish view. Drink the medicine of good views. Drink the medicine of the Dharma, the cure for suffering. Beat the poison-smeared drum. Someone asked me about this the other day, and I had to say, I have no idea what Great Master Hongxi exactly means by this. But he does go on to say, when they interact, killing and giving life are up to you. So we have the medicine and the poison, and now killing and giving life. So I think he's saying that we have the choice between drinking the medicine of the Dharma, giving life, and drinking poison or feeding it to others. Through the gate the self emerges, the true self, and the branches bear fruit, the fruit of bodhi, the fruit of training. Only silence is the supreme speech, only illumination the universal response. Silence and illumination, speaking and responding. Responding without falling into achievement, without trying to get something. Responding with illumination. Speaking without involving listeners, because it's not ordinary speech. Silence is the supreme speech beyond words. Great Master Hongzhi often uses words or phrases in pairs, and then he repeats them, and sometimes he reverses them, and then he adds something, and he does it here. The 10,000 forms majestically glisten and expound the Dharma. The 10,000 forms, everything, all the things, shine with dignity, shine with Buddha nature, and everything expounds the Dharma, everything expresses the truth. All objects certify it, everyone in dialogue, all speaking to each other, nothing standing off by itself, but everything speaking to each other without words, speaking of the Dharma, expounding the Dharma. Dialoguing and certifying, they respond appropriately to each other. But if illumination neglects serenity, then aggressiveness appears. If we just want wisdom, illumination, and there's no serenity, no stillness or acceptance, then we're pushing and grasping, there's aggressiveness, there's a self trying to get something. There has to be acceptance and compassion along with wisdom. Not just striving for illumination, for wisdom, at the expense of acceptance and stillness, serenity. We have to have both. Certifying and dialoguing, they respond to each other appropriately. But if serenity neglects illumination, murkiness leads to wasted Dharma. If we are just concentrating on stillness, with our focus narrowed down too much and not with awareness, our meditation can get murky, dark and stagnant, not clear and bright. Then we have wasted Dharma. We don't make proper use of the Dharma with insight and putting it into practice. This is quietism. We need to practice the Dharma, practice illumination, see where we need to work and do it. We need the stillness, serenity, and we need illumination, wisdom. We need stillness and we need to practice. Otherwise our meditation is not balanced, it's one-sided. When silent illumination is fulfilled, when we are practicing both stillness and illumination, the lotus blossoms, the dreamer awakens, 100 streams flow into the ocean, 1,000 ranges face the highest peak. The lotus blossoms, the dreamer awakens. It is limitless, it is vast, 100 streams flow into the ocean of Buddha nature. 1,000 ranges face the highest peak. Like geese preferring milk, like bees gathering nectar, distilling that which is precious, the essence. When silent illumination reaches the ultimate, I offer my teaching, the essence of silent illumination. The teaching of silent illumination penetrates from the highest down to the foundation. From the highest peak to the bottom of the ocean, nothing is outside of it. It encompasses everything. It is vast. Penetrates all of it. The body being shunyata, the arms in mudra. The body is shunyata or emptiness. The arms are in the meditation mudra. When we're really still in meditation, the body can feel like emptiness. We are emptiness and within the form of our body. And within this, from beginning to end, the changing appearances and 10,000 differences share one pattern. Within the stillness and emptiness, there is a pattern that unites everything. All the changing appearances and 10,000 differences, they're all part of the vast luminosity. From beginning to end, all is one and all is different. The gold and the jade work together, the ideal and the actual. The pattern that unites everything. Within the changing appearances and the 10,000 differences, there is oneness, both. Mr. Ho offered jade to the emperor. Minister Xiangru pointed to its flaws. And Reverend Taigen says this refers to a story of a certain Mr. Ho who presented a rock containing, must have been very valuable jade to an emperor. The emperor didn't understand the value of the rock and not very kindly cut off Mr. Ho's foot. Mr. Ho, undaunted, does it again, offers the same rock to the next emperor or another ruler. This ruler also doesn't see the value of this rock, cuts off his other foot. Mr. Ho, still undaunted, gives the jade to a third ruler who finally recognizes its value. I guess he's run out of feet by now. And this ruler exchanges this, seeing the value of this rock, exchanges it for some dominions of another ruler, somebody, a neighboring ruler. And a minister delivering this valuable rock containing the jade sees that this other ruler is going to not fulfill his promise, he's taken the jade with the rock with the jade in it and is not getting ready to follow through. So the minister says, "Oh, I think there are flaws in this piece of jade. Let me have a look at it." Takes it back, runs away, back. So at least Minister Xiangru and the third ruler saw the value in this piece of jade, but the first two emperors did not. So why does Hongzhi refer to the story here? And I think he's pointing to seeing the value in this seemingly ordinary, this very precious jade within an ordinary-looking rock. The two emperors missed. Buddha nature is right there, within everything, the most mundane, ordinary things of our lives. And sometimes it's within the very mundane events of our lives that we suddenly see the beauty. We suddenly are filled with gratitude for just what we have right now. Nothing special, just an ordinary day, an ordinary moment. Suddenly we see the jade. Facing changes has its principles. The great function is without striving. Within change there is the essential, the principle, the great function, the function of Buddha nature, the vast luminosity. It's without striving. It doesn't try to do anything. We don't strive to find it. We just do our best to live in harmony with it. The ruler stays in the kingdom. The general goes beyond the frontiers. The ruler, Buddha nature, the host, stays within. We sit still within. And from stillness we go out to do things. The general, the active part of us, goes beyond the frontiers. The ruler, our true nature, is in charge, the host. The general, who looks to the ruler for direction, goes out and deals with daily life. But it's the ruler who is in charge. It is not we, it's not our little self, our little mind, the general. He looks to the ruler, he looks to that which is really in charge. Our school's affair hits the mark, straight and true. We practice it, we have faith in it, we trust it, we are here. Our school's affair, the family business. Our tradition is the best of the best. Our way of meditation, we, of course everyone says this, but to us, our school's affair is the best. Our school's affair hits the mark, straight and true, and certainly it does. It shows us the way, it takes us there. Helps us to find and cultivate the empty field. Transmit it to all directions without desiring to gain credit. Put it into practice. Allow it to be seen in all directions. Without looking for credit or recognition or trying to be anything special. Just doing our training, practicing the Dharma, being a normal person, not some special being. We all have the clear, wondrously bright field from the beginning, turning toward the vast luminosity, turning inward toward the great matter, the deep source, transparent down to the bottom, cultivating the empty, boundless field, trusting in our true nature and living in harmony with it as best we can. Nothing special, but what more could we wish? The water is clear right down to the bottom. Fish lazily swim on. The sky is vast without end. Birds fly far into the distance. That's the last part of one of Great Master Hongzhi's other poems, The Acupuncture Needle of Zazen. Just a beautiful expression. The water clear down to the bottom. The fish have gone. The sky is vast without end. The birds are gone. There's just stillness. The radiant, bright, boundless field, and within it, the myriad things. This is Great Master Hongzhi's teaching for us this week. Homage to all the Buddhas and all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas and all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.